Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, the casting bloodbath begins on YNR, Drake Hogeston previews Kristen's return on Days, Ridge and Brooke get married again on BMB, and GH's time slot jump affects the ratings. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hello.
Jillian, welcome.
Hello.
And Mel, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Well, I'm not sure exactly where to begin because of the fact that so much happened this last week, but let's start with General Hospital and the premiere of Katie. Katie premiered to some pretty good ratings. I believe they said it was the best debut since Dr. Phil. However, as the week went on, things went down a bit, and it shrunk. Jamie, what are your thoughts on the debut of Katie, at least in the ratings, and how it affected General Hospital?
Well, you said it went down a bit. It by Friday, it actually had started to be in the words of Deadline, alarming, because for the week, for the average for the week, they ended up doing, you know, not as good business as General Hospital was doing in that time slot a year ago this time. So that has to be alarming for Disney that has put $80 million into that show under the auspice of this, you know, overarching belief that talk shows are cheaper to produce than soaps. We know that's not the case with this one, even though this is syndicated. It still falls under Disney, and Disney previous stories have talked about how Disney was banking on the high licensing fees from their 8 owned and operated networks. So it is tied in together. The fate of ABC Daytime and this particular talk show are tied. I think everybody knows that there's a separation between syndication arms and the network daytime talk shows, but it's a little different in this. You know, I see we have a lot of know-it-alls sometimes that come into the comments. You know, I don't do what I do because I twiddle my thumbs in the woods at night. There are many people that are telling me that the fates of General Hospital, people who know, trust me, that the fate of General Hospital and Katie are intertwined, and there has to be a bit of whoa. But I mean, you can't judge anything really in terms of its longevity on its first week. But
yeah.
Katie also had some really weak guests the first week. She did bring it on home and got a little bit more topical as the week went on. You know, with I loved the J-Lo interview. Not gonna lie, that's also because I love J-Lo. I think this will be a show for me where when it's a star I like it, you know, because, I mean, I'm used
to... So in other words, it's Oprah's next chapter, but in syndication.
Well, not exactly, because for Oprah, I would watch Oprah interview people I didn't like just because it felt like I'm sitting up with my homegirl. I don't have that same feeling for Katie, you know, because I tried to watch the one with the bloggers who were trying to tell you to, you know, dare to be brave. And Lord, the woman was quivering the whole time. And I'm like, she might need to do a little, you know, self-improvement on her life coaching skills, because I'm like, hell, she's quivering and her voice is shaking the whole time. I mean, but that was part of her mantra, dare to be brave. But I was like, you know, Oprah, that's one thing about Oprah. When she handpicked a new guru, or we're going to anoint someone, you know, which I thought that was kind of too soon for that with Katie. It's like, you have to get to that Oprah spot before you can start trying to anoint somebody the next lifestyle coach. Because I mean, I was like, this poor woman was shaking in her skin while she's telling everybody, you have to be brave. And, you know, it was an odd hodgepodge of guests this week. I did watch, you know, a little bit of each show. I watched the full episodes. I watched the full premiere. I watched the full episode with the Georgia lady, because I'd been following that, living here in Georgia. I'd been following the story of the lady who, you know, the flesh-eating bacteria basically ate half of her poor body, you know. And I watched the Heidi Klum and the J-Lo things because I wanted to see, and that's where I saw that Katie is not Oprah's heir apparent, because Oprah would have got way more out of them two lasses than Katie got. It was like Katie got a little timid when it came to asking, you know, the meat and potatoes questions. You know, I mean, she did ask about Seal, talking about the fornicating with the help, but she didn't really go in like Oprah would have. And I also want to point out one more thing that you could say something else. But I've noticed on Monday's show, you know, Jessica Simpson was the guest. Jessica Simpson is doing Weight Watchers, which so is Katie. Is it Weight Watchers?
Katie's doing Weight Watchers?
Yeah, Katie admitted on there that she was doing.
Oh, okay.
In a commercial during the right after that segment was for Weight Watchers. So I thought, okay, that was coincidence. Happened again during the Heidi Klum interview. Heidi Klum was interviewed. Then there's a commercial for Heidi Klum's new Babies R Us line. Same thing during the J-Lo segment. Her whatever cosmetics that she's repping, was it Revlon? They had a commercial right after her segment, and Revlon made up an audience member. I'm thinking, in a way, to make sure this show is successful, they're booking guests who have, which, I mean, that's not anything new that people have something to sell.
Just maybe not as
but
blatant.
But it's also an ad buy. You know,
scratch
these people
my are, back and I'll yeah. scratch your back.
These people are coming with, okay, I'm going to interview you, but then you're going to buy some, you know, that's just my theory. I don't know that for a fact. But, I mean, if you go back and watch the shows this week, you know, every celebrity that was interviewed pretty much, their brand advertised during that hour, which I ain't mad, you know, you got to keep the lights on.
Maybe that's the reason why she's not putting the Oprah treatment on them, because, I mean, with Oprah – I mean, no. Oprah wasn't afraid to ask questions, in part because when you came there, you were expected to be honest. It isn't necessarily honest to be having guests on and then airing commercials.
Well, Katie's
right
no Oprah, but Katie can be a dog with it. She can,
oh, she can. I mean,
can definitely be a dogged interviewer, much more dog than she was this week. I think Katie is trying to create this image of the woman of a certain age who's just like you, who's, you know, dating and out there in the world and trying to figure it out. And we all know how, you know, I mean, I like Katie, but we know how disingenuous that can be, because you're not, neither is J-Lo or Heidi Klum, just like.
You don't feel Katie's struggles the way you did Oprah.
It's like you have not been
when you dealt with
a girl and 30 years.
Yeah, like when Oprah spoke to you, you felt like you were talking to like a family member. You all had the same struggles. Katie just feels like some broad that, you know, wants to be down with the people, but it's like, child, I can't get my nails dirty. I got to go on the Upper West Side. You know, it just feels strange. I mean, I liked Katie when she was on the Today Show because, you know, she made watching that show entertaining. She made it informative. She, you know, but she's not bringing that juice on that she had over there. So.
I actually liked her on the CBS Evening News until they started screwing with her original format. Mel, what are your thoughts on the developments for Katie?
I think the show's all right. I agree with what a lot of everybody else said. She started off kind of okay, and she didn't really dig in the questions that you wanted her to see. Like, she didn't get the real dirt, because that's why you really want to watch a talk show, I feel like, is to get the dirt of the situation, and that's not what you're getting. I don't know. I kind of really wanted to watch Ricky Lake, because I used to watch Ricky back in the day, so.
But that, and then one of the thing about Ricky Lake's ratings, it's been impacted by a carriage dispute.
Yeah,
so,
I can't watch.
I mean, considering that she's been in the midst of a carriage dispute, she's not doing bad. Once that's resolved, we'll see what happens.
Right. Sorry, Ricky girl, I can't watch you. Cause
Steve Harvey is coming out of the gate swinging. Mm-hmm. You know, he ended up beating Katie in 25-54. According to Deadline, and that's more important with these talk shows. It's funny how soaps have forgotten the over 49 year, you know, anyone over 50 is, they ain't thinking about them. But, you know, I guess with talk shows, they still aim you know, they try to go a little bit older with who they advertise toward, which makes sense. I don't know why soaps aren't. They'd probably be in much better health if 50, even just stretching it to 54 was the benchmark, you know. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, Katie, the thing about Katie and the reason that all eyes are on Katie, though, is that $80 million price tag. Because these other shows, they didn't cost that much.
Jamie, let's talk a little bit about General Hospital and how the time slot jump has affected it. Once again, the caveat, it is not in front of Katie in all time slots, but in many. What do you think of the fact that it hit 2.3?
Oh, well, you know, well, it's averaged that for the first 3 days out. I was told, and, you know, it was reported in Mark Berman, and, you know, that caused some confusion because, yes, GH does not lead it in every market, but I was told that they did very strong and that, you know, I was told by my sources it was 2.5. There's always a bit of fluctuation by the end of the week. If you notice, even the magazines run different ratings than Soap Opera Network runs because Soap Opera Network runs the raw ratings. And they're based on a different numeric. I mean, it's, you know, it's always off a bit with those two ratings. But I've heard GH did great that week. You know, I heard basically the ratings continue to climb for the show and that ABC is very impressed. It was a great sign. And I think they did a damn good job. I mean, you see all these people who say they want soap operas to survive, yet they're just, you know, and yeah, maybe I'm a hypocrite because we all gave Maria hell. And it could, I mean, the thing of it is, yeah, we felt she was bad. Some of these people are right, you know, have their rights to feel that GH is bad. But I never saw Maria Arena Bell work that hard to turn a show into an ensemble in such a short amount of time when we all know that GH was a show about four people, you know, 3 or 4 months ago. I happen to like some of those four people, so it never really bothered me as much as it did others. But they were complaining like crazy because it was the Jason, Carly, Sonny, and Sam show. But, you know.
And insert someone like Courtney at any given time.
Oh, yeah, whoever, you know, whoever else, two women, you know, Liz, whoever, the two women fighting for Jason's Peter Weider, and then Sonny Carly, you know,
and
that was it.
Special, and then special guest star Luke Spencer, you know?
You know, I mean, and they've turned it into a real ensemble. I felt that was a splashy, old school, 80s era. You know, I wasn't watching GH then, but I've read all the history books, and it fell in line with the type of stuff GH did when it became, you know, the show that was covered in Newsweek. I mean, yeah. And the thing of it is, sensibilities have changed. So, yeah, you look at it now, because that's the thing that would get me. And I even said this to a reader when they're like, this is so unrealistic. And I'm like, but you got to pick and choose what you want. You want the old GH, but then this storyline is so unrealistic. This is a soap opera that's greatest storyline was a man trying to freeze the world. Then there was Lassa fever and everything else. And space aliens coming down and communicating with Robin. And this was the glory days of it. I mean,
well, and not only that, but I mean, you look at something like the Bourne franchise, and that person has been either genetically or chemically induced to be able to do stunts and travel the world and stuff.
But that's
But what I'm saying is, it's no less realistic in the context of consuming.
And you make a good point because Gloria Monty, if you read up on the history, she was inspired by the movies of that time period. All those action adventure movies and the Raiders of the Lost Ark in the 80s and in the 70s. And before that, it was a Quatermain, but it wasn't. I know people always confuse that. It's like some adventurer named Quatermain that had a bunch of movies. I mean, they were inspired by that. They were inspired by the larger-than-life action adventures.
I'm just screwing with Luke with that, you know, because I'm just acting like how some readers would act. Well, it's just a movie, Luke. Like, why is a movie exempt from a TV show? It's like, calm down.
I would tell you one point where it got a little silly for me, but it was still so heartfelt that I couldn't do anything but be in love with the scene. But when Dante announced that the way that they were going to be cured was to go home and drink the water again.
Oh, Jesus.
I would have been. See, they needed some black folks out there because the black mama would have been cussing. Not us. We're not going to drink this water again.
They needed epiphany. You know, we always gripe about Epiphany saying things at the wrong time. That was the perfect time for Epiphany to be like, you mean to tell me all I got to do is carry my ass home to drink tap water for
but it,
a buck?
It gave them the opportunity to go home and shower naked. What do you mean?
In the water from a helicopter was also a bit crazy. What are you going to say, Belle, because you ain't had a chance to talk?
I was thinking that it also could be used as like a full circle thing because it started off with the water and it ends with the water. So,
film graduate, y'all. Get it.
I don't know.
Well, the single best.
If I had a moment of this doesn't make any sense, it was that one. The everything else I love, that's the only moment. Because I'm like, all this debate about antibiotics in your water making your daughters go into puberty at 4 years old. Use this antitoxin into the water system. I'm like, oh, hey.
Well, and I agree with you, except for I would do a slight caveat on that. I got the fact that people needed to drink water, but the fact that people could just go around and splash around in the water and just like, be covered by the water,
that
was the part that sort of made my eyebrows arch like Drake Hogeston's on Days of Our Lives. It was like, okay.
It smelled a fart, too, like Drake, because he did the eyebrow. I gotta know.
It was just, well, I will say this, though. My favorite
that
part.
Musical montage saved it. I was like, I don't care how ridiculous this is. It's so heartfelt, and everybody being so happy to be alive. And then the rest.
Well, and they can all thank Natalie Buchanan.
What the hell you say, sir?
Natalie saved poor Charles.
What the hell you say? Now I got my rope dog melted him.
If Johnny Bay had seen a picture of Sam on his phone, he would have clipped the wrong color, which means that Natalie Buchanan saved poor Charles.
I'm so sorry. Okay, hearing about Natalie Buchanan saving poor Charles. Natalie Buchanan, this. We don't need Natalie. Don't.
Yeah, we do. I'm going to have to co-sign Luke. Yeah, we do. That's be the bomb. I can't wait till January because Natalie's going to come on to Natalie and she's going to punch Sam right in her face.
Her down like a drum because you know Sam beat Carl when Carl and I was fighting in that bar. When Mike,
listen, every day Natalie versus Sam will be like Sam versus Liz in black and white ball.
Jillian is calling Carl Jennifer Brantz, but not Laura Wright.
That's me, Laura. I say how. No, but I'm sorry, but no. Natalie did not bring her funky ass to Port Charles and cut no wire, so therefore it was John McBain that saved Port Charles.
But if he had had Sam's picture there, he would have clipped the wrong wire.
No, Luke, they would have written it to where the black wire because they weren't going to let poor Charles die, Luke.
I
thought it was cute. You know, I thought it was a nice little wink-wink nudge to One Life to Live. And I love when they do that. You know?
Well, not only that, but they need to keep the One Life to Live characters that might pop up in General Hospital after January in people's minds. Having Natalie show up on a phone is a way to do it.
Organic storytelling. You got to have her come on and play that beat out. That Natalie that we know on that show would not just be like, I'm going to have my daddy keep John away from me. She would come to town and she has to at least come to town and say, what the
okay.
going I on? She would have brought the Buchanan Corporation to Port Charles to stop for sale.
Fans mad. If you were writing a soap, you would really be having them on Twitter calling you bad names because I don't want Clint and Vicky and all of them there. No.
I don't want them, but what I was saying is Natalie is underhanded enough to use anything at her disposal to get back at
Natalie makes sense. Natalie makes sense. Trevor St. John makes sense.
Well, Blake makes
sense. Tomas makes sense, but we can find out that he's really Alcazar. But, you know, I don't want all of One Life to Live or all of All My Children.
I never said that.
The Buchanan
Company. I said the Buchanan Company.
You'll get carried away, though. You'll get to talk about Big Clint.
The only time, maybe Vicky could show up.
Vicky, keep her ass.
Other than that, no.
A phone call. I'll let her have a phone call.
And I will allow Natalie be there for 6 weeks.
You mean to tell me that if Todd was like on his deathbed or if Todd was in jail for some reason, you wouldn't mind.
You have to remember that there are General Hospital fans. This is the 50th year of General Hospital. You have to be mindful of that. These people want Lucy Coe home. They want Blackett Parrish to get out of jail. There has to be a delicate balance. You cannot weigh down this canvas with a bunch of characters from Kansas.
I never said weigh down.
Well, it will weigh it down with having all them.
They already catching hell.
If they can bring on Meredith Fear once every great while, they can bring on a Vivek every once in a while.
From the three Landview characters they have now, they can't just Natalie makes sense to me.
To wrap up storyline, yes, I'd allow that heifer to come on for 6 weeks to wrap that bullshit up. But this is their, as you said, Jamie, this is their 50th week. I mean, 50th week, their 50th year. You have to bring staples on that put that show on the map that still makes people say, let me check into GH today.
Because the main staple they need to bring back just got her job took at the Young and the Rest of Us.
I was saving YR for the very end as a hook to keep people listening, but okay. Jeannie Francis has been axed. Debbie Morgan has been axed. Marcy Ryland has been axed. Julia Pace Mitchell has been bumped to recurring. And Billy Miller and Michael Grazadeh could be on their way out, according to Jamie's report.
I didn't sit shiver for
all kinds of stuff is going on at YNR.
I'm sitting shiver for those too. I'm sitting shiver.
Mel, let's talk about the most important person to be let go. Marcy Ryland.
Really? Really?
Luke Kerr? You be killing them soap actresses off them shows, boy. You'd have got Mara West gone, Marcy Ryland gone, now too. Rebecca Budick's show got canceled. It's Luke Kerr, y'all. That's it. I'm telling you.
It ain't you, Reagan. We found it. We found the secret line.
No, I'm not the show killer. I may be a character killer.
Rebecca Budick got to send Luke a dozen roses because all that loving he was giving her, Franz put her front and center, did a ad campaign about her. She got to host The Bachelorette.
All right.
Luke be her publicist. He would have that whole.
And if Marcy Ryland ends up on General Hospital, I want a commission.
No, because how you going to get a commission when I did the Wish for Cancer back in 2009? Commission ass.
Okay. But seriously, I kind of had a little fit on Twitter when it came out that Marcy Ryland was released because Julia Pace Mitchell gets to be on recurring, but we let Marcy Amazing Ryland go. Abby.
Look, she ain't want the doggies to come after her. I put it out there.
Well, she can. Let me stop.
No, she must not care because she fired Debbie Morgan.
But Abby is a Newman and an Abbott.
You know why I believe they're going to keep Sophia, though? Because she'll probably have to help wrap up Tucker's
make an ugly outfit.
And she has baby. She has that baby by Neil. So, you know, I don't know why. You know, that's an easy wrap up. She get hit by a car and Neil have to raise little little Ishmael by himself. Whatever Bible name they gave him.
Whatever she named him, the burning bush.
I feel like, yeah, we got rid of Jeannie Francis and we got rid of Debbie Morgan, too. But these are kind of periphery characters that we don't necessarily need. We don't need Genevieve. We don't need your Harmony. But Abby is a character I feel like we need. She's a Newman and an Abbott tied to the canvas forever. We need Abby.
Yeah. Not a gun to them three Genevieve.
And there's a laundry list of people and characters who could go before Abby and Marcy.
Well, you
a laundry list.
Sarge saved because if you watched that video we posted a while back of the new black character that's coming in that is obviously a love interest for Lily, which I wonder how that's gonna play out. But he also in that storyline mentioned that Sarge is his uncle. So Dardale, I guess, is safe because they need him to introduce this new brother. So that probably will get him another 6 months.
Well, why couldn't they just recast Devon and then get rid of Sarge too?
Why do they have to recast Devon? There's nothing wrong with the Devon they have. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with him, but there's nothing particularly good either. When's the last time
he won every?
He has no chemistry with anybody. The only person he has chemistry with is little Noah Newman. That's it.
They don't put chemistry. They don't put him in those scenes.
Exactly. That's my point.
Well, then fire the whole show. That's if that logic will get rid of.
There was more chemistry between Devon and Noah in the scene at the poolside than there is with Devon and anybody on the
that's
show.
That's not true.
And women, but that little girl from the Cosby Show, and they only bring her on every 2 months.
Fresh Prince, Jesus.
They tried him with Abby.
They tried him with Chloe. I thought that could have been okay with Abby when Chloe was trying to I thought he and Chloe were kind of cool together when she was
more than Kevin and Chloe have.
She tried to bust up Lily and Kane when she was making it look like she was interested in Devon. They had chemistry and they just let that go. So, honey, for you to say that he don't have chemistry with Noah, say that's your own preference.
The only problem I've ever had with Bright is the loud suits he wears to the Emmys. Other than that, I like him. I think he's a good actor. He's cute. He got a nice little body. They just don't ever give him his love interest. Comes on every 2 months. The only love story they've ever done for him is having him screw his auntie, which didn't do him or the viewers any favor. Mm-hmm. You know, they can build a solid family unit, and I hope that's what they're doing. I don't know how Neil and Lily come into possession of Jabot, but you know, in that video. That, you know, audition videos, it's so funny. People need to, look, I need to stop saying this because I'm going to teach them how to not let their spoilers out. But it's like last year when I saw that Dallas audition video and it basically had everything in there about Christopher's bio fuels and everything. I'm like, they need to start auditioning people with Shakespeare scripts or something that is not.
Or dummy scripts or something.
Or no, just let them come in and read Macbeth, because you're letting your future storylines out there on the internet. Because basically we know somehow Neil is going to become in control of Jabot soon. And Lily, I guess, is going to be a top executive there. Lord Jesus, help us, Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes. Considering the fact that they had a problem with Sharon and her lack of knowledge of an experience. Well, hell, Sharon's an MIT graduate in comparison to Lily.
I wouldn't go that far. Because
they have Lily acting like she is the Victoria Newman of the Winters dynasty. She's all checking him. And I was like, wait a minute.
Speaking of a character that can be recast.
I wouldn't go that far about Lily and Sharon, because didn't Lily do that little cosmetics thing for Jabot when she was modeling? So
that, you know, Sharon modeled, Lily modeled. There's a long history of this show of people going from model to executive. Drew started as a model. You know, mm-hmm. Nikki started as a model. Well, she started as a stripper, and then she became. It's part of the story.
You know,
Victor was all, ugh. And Victor with that gay man Douglas. I'm like, Douglas, you know you didn't want to be in that strip club. Think about it, chap. Yeah. Like Douglas, you know you wanted Victor to take
that. And now you wanted Victor to be like, wait up, down with that. You know, he wanted Victor to be like, where them dollars at? I'm like, get out of here. But look, you know what? You know, look, everybody keeps, you know, I have people coming at me saying, you hate Jeannie Francis. Where did I say that I hate Jeannie Francis? I hate the character. Jeannie Francis, anybody who knows me knows that was my favorite actress. But I can be, in part, I can be non-biased here and say, look, this role sucked for her. And it's not because.
Too, but she's terrible on The Young and the Restless.
Thank you.
Miscast. They're both miscast. It, you know, just because you're great on one soap opera or two or three, because, you know, both of these are great actresses, but they were miscast. The writing was really bad. And everybody is not Kim Zimmer. You know, you can be a good actor, but not every. Sometimes a role, you know, a great part is a marriage between amazing writing and amazing acting. Kim Zimmer is one of those people, you can give her a script and she gonna cuss and carry on and talk about it in the press, and then she's gonna go, okay, Kim, shake it out. Let me make this madness the best I can do. And I'm not saying that
silly string
and Jeannie didn't do that, but I didn't see that. That's not what I saw from them. I never saw Debbie get a handle on who Harmony was supposed to be. Jeannie went from, I'll get you my pretty.
Back to Laura Spencer again.
She's playing Laura. She's playing a
conniving Laura.
Which is what she said she wanted on Oprah, if you remember. So yeah. Maria Brina Bell is so silly and such a silly executive that she's doing wish fulfillment for these people. It's like, think about your soap opera. It is not your job to fulfill Jenny Francis's wish. It was your job to keep that soap opera in on budget and to do the best writing and storytelling for it. I'm glad she wasn't watching Maury Povich, because she would have had Shaniqua on there, you know, demanding to Nick to take a DNA test about her baby. I mean,
you know, like
on Oprah, and I was inspired. Be inspired by somebody's story, by your show's story Bible.
With Debbie and Jeannie, it's like, you know, Maria wanted to do this whole, you know, when they were like, I want to be far away from my previous character as possible, she did it and she took it to the extreme. You know what I mean? Like, that role, just the role of whatever that Jeannie was doing was not a good role. It was not a good fit. Maria tried to make another family that was not a hit. She tried to make Debbie this far from Angie character, and it just ended up being a scary.
And Debbie's already proven she can play other characters great than Angie in daytime. She was, mm-hmm. you know, Ellen on, wasn't her name? Ellen on
Port Charles.
Then she, you know, she did Generations, popular there. Jenny Francis, I love Jenny Francis. I'm going to tell you where I first met Jenny Francis on Days of Our Lives as Diana Koval. I loved Diana Koval. You know, that's what I'm like. You know, I started to tweet that as a joke. Well, Diana Koval can come back. So Kristen Diana Koval and Marlena can all just square off over John. But, you know, I mean, Debbie Morgan, I wouldn't mind her coming on Days because of the fact that Abe needs a woman. And if they wrote a decent character for Abe, you know, for her to play.
Oh, and they want Generations together, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. They were on Generations together because he left Days. They both left. He left Days and she left All My Children to do Generations.
Let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Okay. Drake Hogeston went and teased fans a little bit about Kristen's return. He said that John's going to accept her return at face value. Jamie, do you believe that Kristen is reformed?
Not if they want that show to stay on the air. She better not have reformed. Kristen better come on there and turn into five people. And look, I'm looking at the clock. The clock said April ain't far. And April is when they're going to make a decision on that show. So Kristen better hit the ground running. She come back in October. By Halloween, she better have Marlena locked in a room somewhere. And then Susan, Sister Mary Mariah, and Thomas, you know, Penelope dead, Lord rest her soul. They all need to be running a buck by November. No, sorry, ma'am. Don't nobody want to see a reformed Kristen. That, you know, these people, they kill me. Again, here we get another James E. Reilly era character on this new Days where you have Greg Mean continuing to diss Reilly every chance he can in an interview. Well, we gained some viewers, but we lost some. You a lie. I can do the math. You didn't lose any viewers from the devil possession. You went from a number 7 to a number 2. You a shitting ass lie. Came back. The ratings went up too. Even with the serial killer storyline, when they dropped this, when King, they made him bring all them people back to life. And then they fired him. Quit lying on that man's legacy. He is the last soap opera writer to significantly raise the ratings on this show. Yeah, it's the cool thing to say he sucked, but he didn't, according to the Nielsens and according to NBC, who write the checks. He didn't suck to them because Days was the fifth most profitable show on the air on NBC during his first stint. But then they want to bring back his characters and do something different with him. How did that work with Carly? We saw him roaming around in the garbage can. Instead of glamorous Eris Katerina, we got her rummaging around in the trash can for some dope. And, you know, so I don't, you know, when they start trying to reimagine those characters from the 90s, I'm like, y'all just might as well leave it alone, because I'm going to be mad as hell if they mess up Kristen's.
I don't think Kristen's changed. I think Kristen is just biding her time to get John back to when John, you know, Kristen, you know, she's a Tamara. She's waiting for John and Marlena to lower their guard and to drop out, boom, and be like, Doc, I'm finna get my man back, bitch. I know
what
she is.
Is to tell everybody that she lied when she brought Josh Taylor there and told everybody he was really Roman. I want her to tell everybody that was a lie. That did
the Roman was brainwashing. It's Chris Kostajak.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't know how they'll explain how everybody is saying.
Oh, I believe it.
But, you know, Wayne Northam can come back and look, be married to Kristen. That'll be the surprise. And then we can get Lynn Herring off that farm so she can go back to General Hospital as Lucico, and she can throw Kate and Connie off a cliff and take Crimson. And stake Sam in the heart because she thinks she's living.
Did anybody find it surprising that Adrian sort of turned up her nose at the thought of her son being interested in Will?
It kind of came out of nowhere. The Johnsons and the Bradys have been tight forever.
Well, that is true, but look who his mama is. She's like, look, I don't want that crazy around my son. It's bad enough he related to Victor. Shit.
That's why I'm glad Sonny brought up, you know, look at the damn Johnson / Devereaux family tree. Jack was a rapist. He raped Kayla. You know, Patch was he came to town as Victor's henchman and used to stalk Hope before Kayla's sweetness, her sweetness turned him good. Sweetness turned him good. So, you know.
I need to bring him back, Stephen Nichols. Look, I'm loving you.
You know what? I want him to bring him back too, but they have to really cut about 10 people out of that cast and have a decent storyline.
It wouldn't matter if they cut them now, they'd be here still in March.
I can't go through them changes anymore with Patch and Kayla and Jack and Jennifer and Shane and Kim. Those are
Jack
to me. They are sacred to me, and I cannot see another of these people trying to write a story for them. That bullshit they did, that Dina Higley, and she actually gave interviews and thought she had did something cute. When she brought back Patsy Peace and Charles Shaughnessy and got them back together in 1 week after 20 years apart, you know, I want what Ron Carlovati did with Cord and Tina. I felt so happy for Cord and Tina fans. I'm like, I don't know anybody named Cord and Tina. Why can't I get that for my Days characters? We get one big argument, Kim looking all crazy and shrieking and carrying on with a bad wig on. Next thing you know, they back together and gone off the show.
Let's just face it. If we were talking about integrated casts and umbrella storylines, Ron should be writing all four shows.
I can't wait for him to write Days, but I'm glad to.
You an asshole. Did you just say you can't wait for him to write Days? Shut up.
I'm not going to lie. I was, you know, yeah, I'm positive, but I was thinking, okay, so Ron and Franco do the finale of GH, and then I can get him to Days. That's what I was thinking in my mind. But, looking like GH might stick around.
Well, let's talk a little bit about B&B. Ridge and Brooke got married for the umpteenth time. Jillian.
You'll marry Hope, don't you? Look, you spoke that. You can claim that one because it will happen. They'll develop feelings for each other.
Bridget.
He raised Bridget. Then he said, you know, you ain't nothing but my daughter, so you kind of look kind of cute now. Your booty getting round. I mean, who does that?
We ain't no kin, you know. I'm a Maroni. We ain't no kin.
Where are them jeans, Bridget? I mean, yeah, I know. I thought I was your daddy the first 4 years of your life. Then I thought I was your brother the next sore ass years. But now we ain't no kin at all. So,
I'll tap that.
Exactly.
Look at Hope. Watch. No, you know what it' gonna be? It' gonna be Pose, 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 the remix. And he gonna pick it up, and he gonna take Hope up against the wall, and she gonna take her mask off and be like,
"Bridget, oh, you're not."
You know, Heaven's playing him dark.
While wearing the scarf.
Good.
Oh, when the clock stopped at 2:49, whatever the hell it stopped at for that one. Oh, jeez.
Come back.
Yeah. I think they got back.
No. they got married. I mean, whoopty woo woo woo. I mean, can you woo woo woo? Who cares? I mean, ugh. I mean, how do we?
The role of Ridge Forrester is now being played by Mike.
You better stop! Don't you speak that into existence, my great girl.
I'm sorry. I still can't get over it. The preposterousness of Michael that possible casting is just.
When Michael
oh my God.
Logan said that, I was like, "You should have told my face!" Oh my God, I did the Drake Ogerson.
Logan, we love you, but that just scared the crap out of us.
I did the Drake Ogerson eyebrow. I'm like, you know, so we're just gonna go from tall, lanky, jet black hair to.
Great. We just gonna change the subject.
No.
Didn't feel like it was any different. You know, Brad said that he wanted to give them a proper ending. I've seen that wedding 1,000 times. I enjoyed it because I am a Brook and Ridge fan, but really, 7 weddings is too many. Y'all know I play by the Mac and Rachel rule. 3 times is all you're supposed to get. If you ain't figured it out by that 3rd wedding, it's time to let that couple go. So 7 weddings is just silly. Also, we've seen this before. This is not a big thing for Stephanie to accept Brooke. She has now accepted Brooke eternally at least 15 times. It's repetitive. I mean, there's no real growth on The Bold and the Beautiful because Brad, talk about a clock. He resets the clock. You know, the moment Brooke comes back without Ridge for whatever reason, Stephanie will start hating her again.
And not only that, but it's... I'm getting sick of weddings in Stephanie's living room.
Oh, I am getting sick of weddings on The Bold and Beautiful, period. A wedding on a soap opera used to be an event. It was basically the end of a year-long story for a couple, and it culminated in the epic wedding of all time. Then you start the path to breaking them up right after they get back from the honeymoon. I mean, it's Luke and Laura is the template. But these weddings mean nothing. They mean nothing on this show. It's like, you know, some gay dude need to cuss them out, stepping them out for mocking marriage. You know, gay dudes can't even get married. Look, the lesbians on the show, that's what need to happen. Krista Chappelle's character need to cuss Hope, Liam, and Steffi out and be like, I can't even marry Karen, but you little chillin just keep acting crazy. You know, I'm like, come on now. It's just stupid. I'm just saying that as a joke. I wasn't really meaning that they should do a political story for that. But it's just like, come on, these weddings mean nothing, you know. And I don't know any heiress that dressed like Steffi, running around in them black leather jackets like Pat Benatar. It's like, what are you? You an heiress? Where are you going? Are you going to some biker bar in El Segundo? What are you doing? And this is what you do when you hang out. So this is, you know, I guess they were like going to show what Steffi's life is like when we don't see her. So she out running around getting henna tattoos. That ain't even popular anymore. My mama got a henna tattoo like 10 years ago. It's like B&B sometimes feels like it's stuck in a time warp.
Yes. That
interview, we want it to be more like One Tree Hill. That's off the air! That show don't come on no more, Brad!
And if we're quite honest, most of the young actors on the show can't act as well as the ones on One Tree Hill.
Who cares? They need to... Nobody in soaps have ever been able, except for Beverly McKinsey. I mean, you know, the kids on soaps have always been bad, Luke. They never act like the people on One Tree Hill, but they also have to do a lot more dialogue and a lot less time. But who cares about the acting? If you want to benchmark a hot young adult show, go watch Girls or Awkward or Glee. You know, as much as Glee gets up, at least it's a hot young show that's actually on the air.
If he had said 90210, if he had said 90210, I'd have been like, okay, Brad, I can get down with that. If he had said
like a decade, unless you're talking about the new one,
the new one.
You know,
they could have went with Gossip Girl.
No, I mean, and that show was actually set in the fashion industry, and he should have been paying attention to Gossip Girl because he would have got some really good stories that his daddy would have. That's the thing.
One Tree Hill did have a fashion storyline with Bros Before Hoes.
That's not though, Luke. He wasn't me. You turned it into
get
a robot.
You get too literal, dude.
In the feeling of the show. I'm saying he needs to look at Girls to see that young girls today aren't going, won't you marry me, Bill? I love you so. I always will. I'm sorry, Liam, you're not going to get this until you put an MRS on it. Uh-huh. And then, you know, they go, why? Like, it feels like the 1950s with these, you know, one of them is the tempestuous, you know, strumpet, you know, the Liz Taylor, and then one of them is the little Debbie, you know, la-la-la-la-la-la, Gidget. It's like, what is this? And if I hear her preach or pontificate about her hoo-ha one more time, so you're saving your cookie, or you were saving it, but you warmed it up and gave it away. Big whoop. There are bigger things that young women have to deal with in this country today, and that doesn't mean you're saving your vagina. Doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. Either give it up or don't, but stop talking about it. That's not a storyline on this show.
B&B should be renamed as the Cookie Crumbles.
And then they give these press releases and her brother's talking about her hoo-ha. You know, my sister is a virtuous... Shut up! Why did you take a picture of it and put that at the top of the Forest of Creations building?
I mean, you know, I could see the storyline would be hot if Steffi was sleeping around with Liam or something, but they just talk about it. All they did was dry hump. It's like, it is boring. The money shot should be with who? Katie, who is bedridden because she got that bum ticker, and Steffi, who is screwing around with Bill, and Bill is like, you know, Steffi, I can't. I love my wife, but Steffi just can't help himself. And then Katie comes in one day. She wants to visit her husband at work, and her heart gives out because she sees Steffi acting like a Brahma bull on top of Bill. That should be the money side. Not this foolishness with this girl. I'm going to save myself, and this fool hunching and dry humping, and Liam, sometimes I feel like Steffi and sometimes I don't. I feel like Hope.
It's
like,
and Thomas. Let's not forget Thomas, who is like, I still remember what you like to drink, Hope.
Whiplash.
And I'm like, of course you remember what she likes to drink, Thomas. You grew up with her. You every other weekend you were at her house, or she was at yours, because she's your stepsister. Yes, you know how she likes her coffee, because you were raised as siblings, you nasty bastards. Stop dating your sisters.
I mean,
Jamie, final thoughts.
They're not going to be hunching. I mean, they're not hunching at all. I don't understand why they won't let that boy hunch. It's like, get off the screen.
I like Daisy's hair. Daisy says, Shaka Khan, let me rock it, Shaka Khan. 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 She has got her looking wild. I like it.
Jillian?
My final thought is, look, for you two Genevieve fans who think that Jill Ferret Phelps is out to get Jeannie Francis, it is not true. I ain't gonna lie. I thought when she came to the show that it was going to be like that, but it's not. Jill cannot make a move unless Sony and CBS signs off on it. And Sony and CBS have been itching to get rid of Jeannie Francis because Maria hyped it up as, she's gonna give us numbers. She's gonna be great. I mean, this is Jeannie Francis. She's been on the cover of People, Time, Newsweek. She just did Oprah.
Blacktail.
Yes, Jeannie flat ass at Francis been on the Yeah. Anyways, she hyped it up as it's going to be the next best thing. And when those numbers came in, they did not reflect on what Maria said. The numbers actually dropped. They
and
looked
Maria
at the numbers.
Was paying her like she was on GH.
Exactly. Jeannie was still getting GH pay from when she was back in the gap when GH was at its hotness. She was getting that pay. Sony has been trying to get rid of her because Maria was fighting tooth and nail for her, saying that she was going to bring numbers, and she didn't. She was a bust. She did the same thing with Debbie, and it was a bust. Now, the only thing I can't say was Maria's fault was Stephen Nichols, because that was a Barbara Bloom thing, because Barbara Bloom got tired of Maria doing what? Hiring these D-list actors on this show.
Yeah, and Maria wanted that crazy-looking man that was...
And from Boy Meets World. Dead Boy Meets World, Daddy. Mm-hmm.
Mel, final thought?
My final thought is SWAT the net! SWAT up!
That's
my final thought is to tune into this week's Pop Confidential podcast when we're going to be discussing a show that Jamie mentioned earlier, Glee. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Until next time, so long.
Bye, Janora.
Forget you. Da, 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 da.